I'll direct your attention to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And our theme tonight from this verse is prayer, a cry from the battlefield. And this is very much a battle. We briefly recap. Paul is writing to Christians at Ephesus, this great, powerful, immoral city, trading centre. And in the midst of this prosperous city, representing everything that's bad about this world in a way, God had placed his people there as a witness for himself. And he's laid out some wondrous doctrine in the first three chapters. He's applied it in the last three. And then we're driven to say, well, in this great battle, you're going to need this spiritual battle. You need a spiritual armour. And the battle is very much spiritual, isn't it? I was thinking about a book I read on running once, and they said if you could see the top runners, or any runner really running competitively, if you could see what's going on in their mind, it's more interesting than what's going on outside, because they're fighting a great battle in their mind. No one else can see. They're fighting their body, screaming to give up and all sorts of things, and they're having to use all sorts of strategies to overcome it. Well, we fight a battle which no one else can see. We may see the effects of it. We may see men and women being used against us, but we can't see these unseen forces against us. But we're told they're here. And so we're given these spiritual weapons. The girding your waist with truth, a sincere desire to follow Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, yes, the righteousness of the Lord, but it's our righteous walk before God. Without that, we have a gaping hole in our armour. Our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We stand with the knowledge that our sins are forgiven. But then we conduct ourselves in a peaceful manner, and we have a message of peace through Christ to take. The vital weapon, the shield of faith, simply trusting in God. Simply trusting in God, who he is and what he said, which overcomes all the fiery darts. The helmet of salvation, our great hope that one day we'll be delivered from this world. And of course, God's great plan of salvation. We are just a part of that, this great plan of redemption leading to the new heavens and the new earth wherein righteousness dwells. And last time we looked at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and how we wield the word of God in this great battle. And this verse will teach us five things about prayer. Next week we'll have to look at what it means about supplication. But there was a lot more in this verse than I thought when I sat down and began to study it. And I'm just going to steadily go through them so that we actually have time for prayer. But verse 18, the first thing we see is that prayer is a constant thing. Praying always. What does that mean, praying always? Well, you have this great picture of the soldier on the battlefield. He's crying to his great captain. We're crying to our Father in heaven through Christ. We're crying to the Good Shepherd. Praying always, in all situations. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we should be in a prayerful spirit. It doesn't mean you're literally praying 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, because that would be impossible. But a spirit of prayer. What is prayer? An acknowledgement of our dependency. We should be ready to pray. The opposite is to be lost in our own thoughts on the battlefield of this world, without looking to the Lord for strength and guidance and wisdom. We become complacent. We don't see the need of prayer. We don't feel it. We're walking by sight because we can't see these great enemies. We can perhaps see the effects of them, and not by faith. But this praying always. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Just think of all the weapons which we've, and the armour and the weapons we've just gone through. So there is our soldier, and he's got everything. He's, above all, he's got his shield of faith, his absolute faith and trust in God. He's got the word of God, he's wielding it. And then prayer is saying, well, Lord, I trust you and you've said this, and Lord, this is what you've said, and I'm petitioning you and I'm asking you for help. Master, you've declared this to be true. He's in the battle, the attack's coming at him. It's a very, very powerful picture. And as we go through these things, we should ask ourselves the question, do we have a prayerful spirit? Does that represent how we are with the Lord today? The next thing we see is that prayer should be varied, because it says praying always with all prayer and supplication. All types of prayer. Supplication means requests, where we readily and we need to put our requests before God, our requests for strength and wisdom and grace. But all prayer surely means prayers of confession. We've made mistakes in the battlefield. Prayers of thanksgiving for the mercies we've received. Prayers of praise to God for who he is, what he's done, what he will yet do. Master, you will give the battle. The battle is yours. It's won. Help me. All prayer and supplication. Short arrow prayers, as Nehemiah did, fired off in a desperate situation. Much longer prayers. Publicly, as we hope to do tonight, as a group, privately, in our hearts, unspoken sometimes, lifting your heart to the Lord. Do you do that sometimes when you can't find the words? You just lift your heart to the Lord verbally. All these different types of prayer. And when we're in a low state, our prayer just turns into a little shopping list of sort of very basic requests, isn't it? Almost done formally. But all prayer and supplication, so prayer is constant, prayer is varied, and prayer must be in the right spirit, because it says with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. How can we be in this praying in the spirit? We know the Holy Spirit dwells within each believer. Well, in the right spirit, we think of the God, the Holy Spirit, the symbol for him is the dove, is peace. So our prayers must be in accordance with the will of God and submissive to it. We can't pray in such a way, so we'll only ask this if I know I'm going to get it. We think of the perfect example of Christ, and I think Brother Dan mentioned this last week, where he prayed this wonderful submissive prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in agony, sweating drops of blood. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was saying, Father, this is so big. If it be possible, then I'll not have to go through this. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is true submission. So to be in the right spirit is to be a submissive spirit. To be the opposite to that is to be proud and hard and unyielding. And so I'll only pray if I know I'm going to get what I want. Our prayer must be sincere, not just words. I forget the hymn now, something like that. How often do the words I say, do they go? I can't remember, there's a lovely little old hymn, but about do the words we say go with what goes on with our heart? And there's something in there that says that we may as well pray to a God of stone than to pray to God with insincere prayer. See, we know the right thing to say, but we've got to mean what we say. We must pray with the right motive for the glory of God. It must be for our glory. It mustn't be for our ease, if you like. The Lord says, you ask, but you do not receive because you ask amiss. It's ultimately asking for the glory of God. That doesn't mean you can't ask for deliverance or aid for various things, but if it's just for a life of ease and shirking God's work. And we must pray with a trusting spirit. The Lord won't hear us when we have this angry, proud, worldly spirit that's desperate to secure what we want for all the worst motives. Now, to pray in the Spirit, it must be in Christ's name. Occasionally you hear a prayer and it's not said for Christ's sake, as if our prayer has merit on its own. Now, sometimes a believer doesn't mean that they've forgotten it, but you'll probably agree it really grates, doesn't it? You think, but we haven't asked for the Lord's sake. We have no merit of our own. We can't say, Lord, do this just for me. We say, Lord, for Christ's sake, he's our mediator. And then we have this beautiful promise that the Holy Spirit will take our prayers and almost sanctify them and clean them up so they are acceptable to God. We're told this in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What grace the Lord has shown us. We pray, perhaps trying to pray our best, but it's covered with sin. And our God is so generous and gracious. The Holy Spirit takes them up. And it's such a solemn exercise with groanings which can't be uttered. So they're acceptable to the Lord. Our pathetic prayers, stained with sin, but meant sincerely, trustingly, he cleans them up and makes them acceptable to God. What a marvellous thing how God would do that for us. But our prayer, so we've thought it must be constant, it must be varied, it must be in the Spirit, which means in the right Spirit. It must be in the right manner, because we're told being watchful to this end, being watchful. The word watchful there comes from the Greek word agrypneo, which means to be sleepless, which means to be awake. The opposite is to be asleep. It's very powerful when you start to think of it in opposites as well. It takes me back to my time in the army when they would regularly say, you need to switch on, as if you were half asleep. You need to flick the switch. You just switch your mind on and start being alert and think about what you're doing. Now, the Lord is not saying it in such a harsh manner as my tender instructors would do. But is this principle here about being watchful? What does that mean? Well, we think about this as a soldier. So they'd be on patrol, they'd be alert, they're in a battle. So in the modern military, you'd walk along and your rifle would always be, the butt would be in your shoulder, so that as you turn, the weapon goes with you. You're walking along, everyone has different roles. You might be at the very front, the lead, so you're watching everything. You might be on the side, watching the left flank, someone on the right flank, or you'd be familiar with Tail End Charlie, and they have to keep turning around every few steps. But they're being watchful, and they're scanning, and they're looking, and they're wondering what the attack could be, what the danger is. Well, we're in a battle, aren't we? We've been told that earlier on in the chapter, against the wiles of the devil. So whether it's during the day, whether it's at night in our homes, in the different situations we find ourselves, we're being watchful, thinking, well, oh, how could I be tripped up here? Or I remember the last one was in this situation, I lost my temper. Or I fell into gossip. Or I committed the sin of lust. Oh, yeah, oh, I can feel these feelings in me. I'm being watchful. Lord, help me. We're being watchful. We're not just, the opposite is to not be watchful. Your weapon's just hanging down and you're just strolling along and you're an easy target. To be watchful. To know what's going on around us. If we could literally see the enemies around us, we would be very watchful and very, very prayerful. But we can see them because God has said, you have great enemies, they're under my control, but you have one that is like a roaring lion that seeks to devour your soul. So it's being watchful. And each time I study these verses, and I've studied them in detail now for some time, I find it very convicting. I say, well, how watchful have I been? How prayerful have I been? Do we have this watchful spirit? Do we get up in the morning as we're going through the day? Are we alert and we see something come across and we're, ah, yeah, I can see that, the evil one, he's going to try and trip me up there. Or do we just see an annoying person or someone that could lead us into sin? Do we see the enemy behind it? Do we look at our life like this? Not with a paranoid attitude, but with a prayerful attitude. And then lastly, we're told to persevere, because it says being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're just going to look at perseverance. To persevere, to keep going, to not give up. Patience, it can be translated, or with endurance. You know, endurance is not for something which is short. If I said, oh, you need endurance to go and run the 100 metres, you'd laugh. You say you need that for a marathon. This is for something which is grueling. Now, why? Well, because it's hard work. to be constantly prayerful, for our prayer to be varied and rich of thanksgiving and confession and requests, etc., to be keeping in the right spirit, to keeping a check on ourselves, to being watchful and alert all the time, well, that's going to take its toll on you. That's why Christ said men ought always to pray and not lose heart, or not faint in the Authorised Version, because you become faint-hearted. It's hard work. Now, the Lord will give grace and strength, but it's being watchful, which will test our perseverance. The second thing is the Lord will test our desire. We can pray for something, but it can be like this. Well, Lord, I would like this, and please can I have it, but if it's going to cost me anything, well, you know, if you give it to me on a plate, then thank you very much. I'm talking about a blessing here, but if I've got to wait, well, I'll leave it with you. Now, that isn't... I listened to Brother Dan's message from last week. He said about Jacob wrestling, determined towards the end, he must have the blessing once God had broken him. The Lord will test our desire. Do we really want this? I'm reading a book at the moment by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, about Christ being rooted and grounded by faith in our hearts by love. And it's very searching. He's almost talking about, he's not talking about a second blessing in a way, but he's talking about to really know Christ in a much deeper way. And that means really seeking him, our heart being cleansed, and by faith, knowing it's possible, not letting go of the Lord till he does it. And he said, if you really mean that, he will come and you'll know him in a much, much deeper way. But he said, many Christians, and I'll put myself in this category, we have touches of these blessings and these great experiences, but many Christians, they just sail through life and they know the Lord and they know they're his, and they just think, well, if there's anything to be had, maybe the Lord will give it to me, and that's it. And you read it and you say, no, it's about perseverance and not letting the Lord go, and he'll give that to you. He says about how convicting it will be. The Lord will prepare your heart by making you feel the vileness of your heart so that it's clean when he comes in a deeper way. So the Lord tests our desire. Do we really want this? And we're denied when we're insincere or our heart's not really in it. But it's a lovely thing, because in Psalm 84 verse 11, the Lord says this, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. That's a promise from God. She say, Lord, I want to overcome this besetting sin. Or Lord, I really do want more wisdom in this area. Lord, I really want to know you in a deeper way. And the Lord says, I'll give that to you. That's a good thing. But he'll test the desire. How much do we want it? Think about it like this. Where does the Lord have to come in your life and my life for him to save us? Is it fifth? Is it third? Is it a close second? He has to come first. And until we get to that stage where we say, I must have Christ above everything. If it costs me everything, I must have Christ. When we're at that place, and he tests some of us. He tested me. Because we play fast and loose with sin in the world when we're seeking him. And then you get to that stage and say, Lord, I'm done with everything. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I must have you. And then he saves us. Now, it's not like that for everyone, but we have to be in that place. And some of these blessings are like that. They're hard fought. And we need them in the battlefield. Why else do we have to persevere? Because we're sinful, aren't we? Our flesh doesn't want to do this. We've got an old nature that wants to drag us back. Rather than pray, we want to watch TV. I want to go and watch Liverpool play. Our hobbies, a book, even a Christian book, a good Christian book. We use our conscience, so, well, I'll read that. Perhaps our conscience that you really need to really get down and properly pray to the Lord for a prolonged time. And we say, oh, I'll read some more of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones or whatever. Good books, there's nothing wrong with it. And you think about this. If you could talk to whoever you wanted in this world tonight, what lengths that you would go to. So excuse me, continuing with the football theme. If Jurgen Klopp, the current manager of Liverpool, said to me, James, any time you like, you come up to my training ground, you can spend as much time as you want with me, ask me any question you like, and I'll do my best to answer them. I'd probably be saying to Karen, I'm ever so sorry, but on Monday, my day off, I'm going to be gone all day because I'm going to see Jurgen Klopp. I'll be back in about 12 hours. And yet we can be on our own, anywhere, or with people, and we can pray to Almighty God, and it shows how sinful I am and you are that we don't prize that privilege. And that's why the Lord is saying that we need to persevere in this. As I look at this verse, it's an encouragement, but it drives to confession our coldness and our waywardness in prayer. You can see why the Lord is needful to send us trials that we're then driven to Him. That then we realise how much we are utterly dependent on Him for every single thing. But what grace, because the Lord says in His word, through the Apostle James, these words, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's almost as if the Lord is saying, if you compare scripture with scripture, through our pathetic attempts, and we do it wrong and sinfully, He's saying, keep going like a little toddler, keep going, I'm promising you, keep going, and I have a great blessing for you. How merciful God is. Think about if someone treated us, we were trying to help them, as the Lord is helping us, and we ignored them, they were half-hearted, they chased of other things in you, and say, well, I'm absolutely done with that, it's a waste of my time. How gracious God is when He saved us. Well, let's remember in our prayer life, in the battle, to be constant, to be varied, to be in the Spirit, with the right watchful manner, and by God's grace, perseverance.